David Hawkins is the former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call. He covered Congress for CQ from 1995 through 2018, and he is better at it than anybody I have ever known. He is my hero when it comes to knowing everything. Thank you, David.
Well, thank you, Helen.
Okay, let's start. There is an outlook for the midterm elections, which we are now looking at, days away now as we speak. There seems to be a common wisdom that the Democrats are going to take the House, to which I always say, don't be so cocksure.
Well, that's right. So there's the thing that people look at most easily is what's called a generic poll, which is when you ask people around the country, are you going to vote Democratic for Congress or Republican for Congress? Right now, two different polls in the last few days have shown the Democrats ahead by 14 percentage points. That's a pretty big gap. That does not, however, necessarily translate to the race by race. You know, I mean, ultimately, the race for control of the House of Representatives is fought on 435 different battlegrounds. Now, what the pollsters will tell you is, once that so-called generic number, the who you're going to vote for, Democrat or Republican, gets above about 8 or 9, that's a pretty good indication that something close to a wave election is coming. I think, you know, if you look at it race by race, which I do, and you try and pick the winners and the losers at this point, you come up with pretty easily a list of the Democrats gaining maybe 28 seats, and they only at a minimum, and they only need 23. So I think the odds are good that the Democrats will take control of the House. Maybe I'd put it as 2 out of 3, or maybe 3 out of 5, if I was being perfectly conservative. But I'm now sort of turning my attention away from the House of Representatives and towards the Senate, where in recent days, Senate by Senate race dynamics suggest, and Mitch McConnell himself, the Republican leader, has suggested that the Senate is more up for grabs than anybody has thought until this point. The Democrats need to pick up only 2 seats, only, but they are picking it. They are asked to do that in an incredibly difficult battlefield where they are defending way more vulnerable seats than the Republicans are.
So let me ask you about an individual race for the Senate, and that's Florida. That's an interesting one, right?
That's probably the most interesting one. It's also the one that the Democrats are most, perhaps most worried about. Bill Nelson is, you know, a fixture in Democratic politics in Florida. He has been a senator, I guess it's for 18 years, for three terms. He was a statewide elected official before that. He is sort of everything that's not in favor in the current politics. You know, a career politician, a central casting style politician, and the person he's running against, Governor Rick Scott, has been a pretty popular Republican governor, and is running a much more energetic, seemingly, campaign, and this seems to be, you know, once again, there's a chance that Florida could be the place that defies all the conventional wisdom. Thinking back to the big blowout Republican year of a quarter century ago, 1994, I was just thinking about this the other day, almost every Republican in a hot race in the country won that year, except one guy, Jeb Bush, who was running for governor of Florida that year, and he lost. If he'd have won that race, he almost certainly would have been the second Bush in the White House, not his brother. So who knows? Maybe Florida will be the exception that proves the rule. That's the one that the Republicans are really, that's their ace in the hole. Even if they start losing other ones that they're supposed to win, Florida now looks pretty good for them.
And yet, I've seen polls that suggest that Nelson has always been a guy who doesn't always poll that well, but that, you know, he keeps winning. And that he's ahead.
Well, that's you see some polls that he's a little bit ahead. You see polls that it's, you know, too close to call. You're right. Bill Nelson is sized up as vulnerable almost every time. I would say that his past couple of opponents, one was a guy named Connie Mack, grandson of the famous baseball commissioner. Before that, he ran against Catherine Harris, a flawed candidate, if ever there was one. So Rick Scott is neither of those two. Rick Scott is sort of everything the Republicans had wanted in a candidate. He was their dream candidate. You're right that Bill Nelson has escaped what we're supposed to be close shaves before pretty easily, but this one on this race, if you had to pick one race, this is the one that the fate of the Senate majority could hinge.
Everybody write it down. I predict Nelson will win.
I'll predict Scott Warren.
You do? And the reason I say that, David, for whatever is going on, is that Trump just keeps making one mistake after another to the point where not the Republicans, who are still solidly with him, but the independents are going over to the other side.
Well, that's, you are exactly right. That is the trend. This is going to be, Trump's own behavior. This election, every midterm election is in some ways about the president, in many ways about the president more than anything else, a referendum on the president. They can't vote, the country can't vote for or against Trump this time. They can only signal their pleasure or displeasure with their vote for Congress. This one is even more about Trump than maybe ever before. Now, we should also note that two of the last three presidents lost their own majority in Congress on their first election. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama lost Democratic majorities in the House when they were on their first midterm election. And gosh, what happened 2 years later? They won solid re-election.
That's the way it goes. One of the things I wanted to return to just while we have a second here is that you're right. The generic polls show more people like Democrats than Republicans. But the Republicans hold the advantage in gerrymandered legislatures and Congress. And therefore, if it were a fair fight, well, maybe the Democrats would be way, way ahead. But they've got to worry about, these congressional districts which were drawn just so they could win.
That's right. And so just two numbers to throw out, which I'm sure you know, but maybe this will reinforce the point for the people listening, which is in the whole country 2 years ago, there were only 35 congressional districts that voted one way for president and another way for Congress. There were 23 districts that Republicans got reelected to Congress, but Hillary Clinton carried the district, and there were a dozen that went the other way. So those 20, which is the second smallest number of these so-called split districts in modern times, and that's because, as you say, the maps are drawn with laser cutter precision to carve every neighborhood just so that a Republican or a Democrat is seemingly sure to win. So, but remember, 23, there are 23 districts that where the Democrats, where Hillary carried, but a Republican got reelected. So that's magically the exact same number the Republicans can afford to lose, or the Democrats need to win to get the majority. So they have just on that roster, just the bare majority that they need to take back the House.
Well, it's always wonderful to have a guy who I have so much respect for, David Hawkins, who was the senior editor of CQ and Roll Call and covered Congress for CQ from 1995 through 2018. And it's going to be real great to see you and your next job that you'll be taking, David, because I just hope you'll keep coming back.
I sure hope you ask me.